And the tapes are rolling.
Hi, thank you for joining me today on today's Tivoli Talk. I'm here to talk to you about the Maximo for Service Providers offering. My name is Don Busick, and I work in our Strategy and Product Management group. If you turn to slide two, this outlines the things that we'll be going through in today's talk. Initially, I'll give an overview of our service provider product and how it works. The value proposition to our customers. Then we'll talk about the release schedule and the new functionality and pricing model that have come out with our 7.1 release and how the licensing works. If you go to slide three, we'll start off with the overview of the service provider offering. If you turn to slide four, what this does is shows how our product works. Essentially, we have the Tivoli Process Automation Engine, which provides that common data model, common workflow, et cetera, that you see here. On top of that engine, we have four main products that work together: Maximo Asset Management, Tivoli Asset Management for IT, Tivoli Service Request Manager, and Tivoli Changing Configuration Management Database, or the CCMDB. Each one of those products takes advantage of the tool set that the Tivoli Process Automation Engine provides, and then drives its unique functionality on top of that. Now, what we've done is we've added a service provider module which sits on top of those four main products I just mentioned and drives deep value specific for service providers in each one of those areas. If you go to slide five, this gives a little bit of a different view on that. And so what you see here is that with the service version 6 of our product suite, we had three main offerings: Maximo Asset Management, Tivoli Asset Management for IT, and Tivoli Service Request Manager. And on top of those, we have our service provider offering, and you can see the names for that service provider offering on top in this diagram. Now, over on the right-hand side, you see a darker grayed column, and that's representing our internal service provider offering. That's a separate offering that we have, and I'll talk about that in a different Tivoli talk, but it's essentially for internal providers. If you go to slide six, what this shows is our 7X. So earlier in 2009, we came out with offerings for Tivoli Asset Management for IT, Maximo Asset Management, Service Request Manager, and CCMDB on the 7X process automation platform. Since then, we've added in service provider specific functionality, and so you can see here we've come out with the focus was initially on the asset management family, and so we've come out with TAMIT for service providers and a Maximo Asset Management for service providers releases on the 7X platform. We also have the internal service provider version of those. And if you see on the right-hand side of the chart, coming soon is the TSRM and CCMDB and the internal versions of those for service providers. What this means is that for a customer who's running 7X, they have to be using either Maximo Asset Management or Tivoli Asset Management for IT to be able to run the 7X version of service providers. You would need to wait until the 7X version of TSRM for service providers comes out before you can provide that as a value add to your customers. If you go to turn to slide seven, what this shows is how the service providers, at a high level, how the service provider modules work. And so you can see here that we've circled the customer management and financial management pieces, which are new functionality as added by the service provider module. And you can see the other items are what is core as part of the Tivoli Process Automation-based product suite. And you can see on the right-hand side how this outlines the fact that customers who have bought this particular product are able to take advantage of all of the power and functionality that is provided by the engine. Now, if you turn to slide eight, what this talks about is the service provider business models. And so we've broken out service providers into four main models. And the offerings that we're talking about today are predominantly targeted towards that top bucket. So these are customers who are interested in who are using Maximo to generate revenue, or using TAMIT to generate revenue, or TSRM, et cetera, et cetera. So these are Unico's, the Aramark's, the Getronics, the ITDs, the CSCs of the world, who are managing assets or services for third-party customers. So in this example, ITD is managing the IT department, the service desk, the asset management, et cetera, for their customers, for hundreds of customers across the globe. They're the type of target for this external service provider module. And you can see here how we've defined that as compared to, for example, an internal service provider in number three. And so I'll talk more about the details here in some later slides, but the key point is that they're using our products to generate revenue, and that there's value to them in both the terms and conditions and licensing that we provide, as well as the service provider functionality. And we'll talk about this in additional detail in some later slides. Now, let's talk a little bit about how we came up with our service provider functionality, because I think this is important to understanding how the module works. If you turn to slide 9, this outlines exactly how that happened. Over the past few years, we've been going back and reviewing how our customer base was actually using our product suite. And so you can see with an older version of our product, we actually had a pretty fair amount of customers who had configured it and customized the product to work in a service provider model. They had added in customizations around billing and customer management, et cetera. So what we did was we said, look, if you take that, this is a fairly high percentage of customers, and there's obviously a large number of service providers and outsourcers across the globe, and it's a growing trend. So we examined how that existing customer base had modified and customized our product suite to as a driver for the service provider offering that we have out today. If you turn to slide 10, this outlines the actual business model. And so what you see here is you've got this concept of a service provider. That service provider is someone who, you know, in the example of Aramark, they manage the food services for their third-party customers. So they're providing the food, the delivery of the food, the preparation of the food, et cetera, for universities, colleges, sporting events, et cetera, et cetera. That's a classic service provider. They've got, so if you continue down to the, towards the bottom of the slide, they've got third-party customers. They have people who have bought their services, and those customers own the assets or are the ones who desire that service to be rendered. What that service provider then needs is customer agreements. And so our module provides customer agreements which define specifically what it is the service provider is doing for those customers. So what is it that you're supposed to do? Because each customer is going to have some different requirements around the services that the service provider should provide. Now, if you go to the left on the slide, you see that the functionality provides for a model where internal resources might be providing those services. So in the Aramark example, it's Aramark employees who might be delivering the food and preparing it for a university. But it also provides for the model that service provider might be outsourcing some of their work to third-party vendors. And so you have the ability to also manage the work and agreements that in this case, Aramark would provide with their third-party vendors to deliver asset management and service management to their customers. So in this example, that's transparent to the customer. The internal and external resources are actually delivering the work to the customer, and the customer is then, as defined by the customer agreement, and the customer is then obviously paying the service provider for that work. And so as part of the functionality that we provide with the service provider module, there's also build preview functionality. So the ability to understand what should be billed, what are the rates for the services provided, to provide a build preview functionality to that customer, and then obviously nobody does work for free anymore, and so that renders payments from the customer to that service provider. So that's the business model that we've designed our software on, and it's pretty classic for a service provider or an outsourcer, regardless of the industry that they're in. Now, if you turn to slide 11, this gets into more detail around how we got here. So I mentioned earlier how we had many customers who were modifying earlier versions of our software to work in a service provider module or in a service provider model. So what we did was we picked four key development partners who spanned both the facilities management, enterprise asset management space, and the IT, IT asset management and IT service management space. You can see those four here. And they really, based on their requirements and their business model, they drove a lot of the deep dive functionality that we provide with our service provider product. So that gives you an overview of the offering and how we came up with the module. If you turn to slide 12, what we're going to get into now is the value proposition. So the specific areas where this product is providing value to customers. If you go to slide 13, the first piece of this is multi-customer enablement. So let's think about that service provider model. As a service provider, as a Unico, you've got hundreds of customers out there. And a big portion of the cost to a service provider is in having to set up separate instances of their software for the individual customers. So what we've done with service providers, we've enabled multi-customer functionality. So that means Unico in this example, or any other service provider, can implement one instance of our software and leverage that across multiple customers to deliver their business. And so there's a huge ROI benefit in terms of reduction in software, reduction in hardware costs, reduction in employee costs, et cetera, to the service provider by enabling this multi-customer functionality. Now, the second key value provided by the service providers is around streamlining and enabling that service provider to manage their business more profitably. So the first piece of this is customer agreement functionality. What we've done by adding in customer agreement functionality is we've allowed the service provider to define specifically what services they should do for their customers. What is it those customers are entitled to? So in the ITD example, a customer might call up and call IBM's ITD department and say, hey, can you help me with this problem I'm having with my software? And as part of this customer agreement, you can check the entitlement and see if that customer is actually entitled to that service. So you can see how in this scenario you've actually enabled the service provider to deliver their work more profitably. They can either say, you're entitled to this, we'll do this work, or no, I'm sorry, this isn't something we're contractually obligated to. And you'd be surprised when we reviewed with service providers this piece of functionality, you'd be surprised at how big a sticking point this is and how often service providers are doing work for customers that they're not entitled to do. So it's a huge value add in terms of the service provider just being able to understand exactly what they should or shouldn't be doing for their customers. The second piece of the customer model that we've added in is pricing and pricing rules. And so the thought is here that as part of that customer agreement, you're also defining how much you're going to charge them for the work that you're providing. And so you can go in, and we've added some very flexible pricing rules to the service provider module. So you can go in and say, here's the uplift that I'm going to provide for this work. Here's the rates that I'm going to charge for someone with this type of a skill set. Here's the scenarios that if it's the third Thursday of the month, I charge $100. If it's the fourth Friday, I charge $50 for this work, et cetera, et cetera. The types of rules that define exactly how much you should charge for the work that you've provided to those customers. Now, the third piece of this customer functionality is SLAs, and so this obviously goes hand in hand with providing work, is what's your commitment? What have you said? Not only you've said you're going to provide the work, but here's the time frames you've said that you're going to provide them in. So customer A calls, and you've said that you will fix their issue within an hour. So that SLA functionality allows you to define when you're going to fix it, to say, I'm going to proactively notify people. So if for in that one-hour SLA example, if the issue is not fixed and the ticket isn't closed within 40 minutes, you might want to escalate to a Tier 2 technician or to a manager, et cetera, et cetera. That type of proactive notification is also possible within the SLAs. And it also gives you the ability to understand and weigh scenarios where you might have two issues that have come up, and you can only fix one of them. And so by providing this type of functionality, you're able to weigh and understand which one is going to be better for your business to fix first. So there might be a cost implied if you miss an SLA of $5, but to customer B, there's a cost implied if you miss that same SLA of $20. So obviously in that scenario, you should fix customer B's issue first, since there's a higher cost implied. So that type of functionality is also driven by our service provider model. Now, the next big piece of or area of functionality and value to the service providers is around efficiency of service delivery. And so if you think about what a service provider does, they're going in to a customer and they're saying, look, we can do this piece of work, whether that's food services in the Aramark example or an IT department in the ITD example. They're going in and saying, we can deliver this service better and faster and more efficiently and cheaper than you can. And so the way, or a big way that they do that, is by streamlining the process. They can go in and say, whenever this happens, I do the following 10 steps. Making more of a cookie-cutter approach as opposed to having a series of one-offs based on the tickets that might come in. And so what we've done is added in functionality that we call response plans that provide that increased efficiency of service delivery. So those response plans allow that service provider to define exactly how they should be responding when a ticket or a service request of type A or B or what have you comes in. So they are able to go in and say, when a service request comes in of type A, here's the five people who should be notified, here's the three actions that should happen, these two things should happen automatically, these three emails should fire, and this technician should be sent on site to do this work. That type of automation of service delivery is a key feature to the response plan functionality that we added in. Now, finally, if you think about all this, the last piece of the puzzle is you've gone in and you've said, okay, we can reduce cost to the service provider by providing multi-customer functionality. We can make it so that they understand what services they're supposed to deliver to their customers. We can make it more efficient for them to deliver those services. And then the last piece of this is the timely, detailed, and accurate billing piece that you see here. And so this is the ability to summarize the price of all the things that you've delivered to those customers, provide bill preview functionality that the customer can view and respond to. And what we've seen here is this is around the point of reduction in day sale outstanding. So if your customer, if the service provider's customer, knows and understands exactly what they're being charged for and understands that ahead of time and has the ability to resolve any disputes that they might have ahead of time, that means essentially they're paying you've increased the ability for them to pay their bills on time. Obviously, a service provider would rather have bills paid on time. It equals more cash in their pocket instead of waiting and dealing with disputes after the fact. So this is the last key piece or value add to the service providers. Now, I'll get into some of these in more detail in the following slides. So if you go to slide 14, this is key capability number one, right? And so this is the ability to manage multiple customers on one instance. You can see the data points here around exactly how this is done. Basically, what we've done is we've reduce the total cost of ownership to a service provider by giving them the ability to manage multiple customers, X or N number of customers in one instance. That dramatically reduces their hardware and software and infrastructure costs overall. If you turn to slide 15, this is key capability number two, and this is around customer management. So this gets into more details around what we provide with the customer data. But the thought is there's two key pieces to this. The first is with the service provider, we're giving the ability to manage customer information. And so you can understand the address of all the sites where your customer is located and who the key contacts are there and the last time you talked to them and any other kind of key specific information around that customer, where your bills should go, et cetera, et cetera. And the second piece is the customer agreements that we were talking about earlier. You then have the ability to define what a customer is entitled to, the cost or price that you should be charging for those services, and the SLAs, the agreements that you have in place to resolve their issues, close their tickets, et cetera, et cetera. So this is key capability number two around customer management. The third key value add is financial management. And so what we've done here is provided the ability to do the customer billing. So what this is doing is providing bill preview functionality that a customer can view, negotiate, dispute, et cetera, as well as we've given the ability to do sales orders. So these would be really unique pricing transactions. So if you have a monthly sale that the service provider wants to provide, that's something you would do as a sales order, essentially a deviation from the standard pricing that's done with the sales order functionality. So this is the key points behind our financial management functionality within service provider. Now, if you go to slide 17, the fourth key capability is service management. And we talked a little bit about this earlier. It's really giving service providers the ability to streamline the delivery of the work that they provide, which allows them to be more profitable and have less one-off situations with their customers. So the bullets that you see here gives an overview on how those response plans work. Now, if you go to slide 18, this really outlines the value statement around our entire service provider offering. And it's really just saying that the offering is providing a solution which drives down operating costs, dramatically increases efficiency of service delivery, and as a result, it increases the overall customer satisfaction. The value add that we're providing benefits the service provider as well as their customers because their customers are going to receive more efficient and timely service delivery as a result of our service provider module. Now, so that's the value proposition. If you turn to slide 19, what we'll get into is the release schedule. So slide 20 builds out for you, and what it shows is that in 2007, we came out with the Service Provider 6.1 offering, which provided the key capability that you see there in the gray portion of the box, and that runs on top of our Service Request Manager, our Maximo Asset Management, and our Tivoli Asset Management for IT offerings. Then in 908, we came out with our Service Provider 7.1 offering, and this is focused on Maximo Asset Management and Tivoli Asset Management for IT. And you can see the additional functionality that we came out with. And as noted here, some of this functionality is specifically driven by our ITD department. And you can see the versions of the core Tivoli Process Automation Engine that this runs on are down below in black. In the first quarter of 2009, we're slated to come out with a follow-on release for Service Provider, again focused on the asset management offerings. And you can see with what's in gray exactly what we're going to provide as part of that offering. We're really taking and extending the Service Provider functionality, again, based on customer requirements, and you can see the ones that are specific to ITD, but these are all driven by our customer requirements across the board. Then what you see here as this slide builds out is in 2009-2010 timeframe, we'll come out with a Tivoli Service Request Manager for service providers, which takes and extends this service provider functionality for the items that are unique to the TSRM offering. So things like customer surveys, et cetera, that's the key pieces that will be coming out with the offering in 2009-2010. So again, as this builds out, you see the next piece of this is the CCMDB for service provider offering, which will come out in roughly the same time as the TSRM version. And again, this is really taking that service provider functionality and extending it to the things that are unique and specific to a CCMDB offering. And that's what you see there in the gray. And then finally, in the first quarter of 2010, we'll have yet another release of service provider that's focused on the asset management family. And you can see some of the key capabilities that will be coming out with that release as well. So this is obviously a lot of releases in a very short time frame, and this is largely due to a large amount of investment from IBM into this offering, and that's obviously driven by the customer demand. So we're seeing quite a bit of customer demand in our service provider product, and that's why you see all of these releases that are coming out. If you go to slide 21, this gets into the new functionality. And so I mentioned earlier in the prior slide how we just came out with in 9.08 or September of 08 a new release of service provider on the 7.1 platform. And this gets into a deeper dive on that functionality within here on slide 22. So what you can do is this is all driven by our customer feedback. What we've been doing is having fairly regular calls with our key customers and development partners and folks in ITD to really drive the next releases of functionality. So it's all very customer-driven. You can see here in slide 22 what those key pieces are. So what we've done is around the security setup, we talked earlier about how multi-customer is a key value add to the service provider product. And so what we've done is we've streamlined the ability to do the security setup by customers as part of the 7.1 release. So something that's really an administrative enhancement to a service provider. The second key item here is we tied customers specifically to assets. And so this, again, streamlines the ability to manage in a multi-customer fashion the assets that your customers have. And the third bullet is around customers and configuration items. And so, again, we're expanding the multi-customer functionality into other key areas within Service Provider, and that's what you're seeing here. The next bullet is around new rules for customer associations to work orders and tickets. And so a key piece of any Tivoli Process Automation Engine-based product is this work order and ticket functionality. The work orders are telling you what work you should be doing, and the tickets are telling you what work. A piece of any Tivoli Process Automation Engine-based product is this work order and ticket functionality. The work orders are telling you what work you should be doing, and the tickets are telling you what work your customers or end users are requesting. And so we've taken, based on customer feedback, and expanded the flexibility around the rules engine that Service Provider provides for this functionality. And the final piece here that you see is customer-specific classification and attributes. And this is really saying, again, we're expanding the nature of multi-customer to make it so that the classifications and attributes that a service provider provides can also be multi-customer enabled. Now, if you go to slide 23, we'll start to talk about the new pricing model. And so slide 24 gets into that. I mentioned earlier how our service provider release has been out for both the 6X version of the products and now the 7X or 7X versions of the products. And again, driven by customer and sales feedback, we've changed the pricing model. And what you see here is that new pricing model, and it's essentially a lower price point than we had with the 6X version. So this outlines how the pricing metrics work for Maximo Asset Management for service providers. So this is folks in the enterprise asset management space, examples would be like the Unicos and Aramarks that I mentioned earlier, people who are doing facilities management or food services management, et cetera, et cetera. These price points are bundled, which means if you have 100 authorized users of Maximo, it means basically you have to buy Maximo and service provider together, and the user count is the same for those two offerings. So if you have 100 users, authorized users of Core Maximo, that also means you have that 100, same 100 users of service provider, and you would have to pay, or the customer would have to pay $69.74 list price for those 100 users. Same concept with the secondary users and self-service. So if you see down below in the note, the pricing for our different service provider offerings is unique to each offering, which means Maximo Asset Management service providers pay a different price point than Tivoli Asset Management for IT service providers do, and that's largely because the markets are different, and so the markets will demand a different price point. But as you can see in the note, the concept is the same, and it's basically that there's an uplift, a bundled uplift on the pricing for these users. Now, if you go to slide 25, this gets into the pricing metrics for Tivoli Asset Management for IT service providers. And you can see here the metrics are a little bit different. We have concepts of authorized and concurrent users on Asset Management for IT, and you can see the price points and how those work here. But the pricing still is bundled. Now, the other thing to note, if you look at the note section on this slide, there is combination pricing available. So on the IT side especially, we expect that a service provider, generally speaking, is going to want to buy both Tivoli Asset Management for IT for service providers as well as Tivoli Service Request Manager for service providers, or maybe CCMDB for service providers, et cetera. And so what we've done is we've provided combination pricing so that the price point for a customer who buys multiple service provider offerings is actually cheaper than if they bought each one individually. Along the lines, again, that the market is going to drive the fact that there are more service providers who do a combination of these things than ones who do just one particular offering or the other. If you go to slide 26, this gets into the licensing information. And so what we've seen is that there's a value to service providers in the product functionality and feature as well as in the T's and C's. And so those two key pieces drive that price point, those price points that we talked about in the earlier slides. What you see here is the licensing information. And so the LI, at a high level, the LI gives customers the right to pool licenses. So a customer would have the ability to have one technician manage assets and services for multiple customers. It also gives them the right to use our products to manage assets and services for third-party companies, and the right to use our service provider functionality. So these are the three keys out of that licensing agreement. I think you can see how these are all value adds to a service provider in addition to our functionality. If you go to slide 27, if you are interested in doing a deeper dive on the licensing agreements in general, this provides the link as to where you can grab that information and read it in more depth. And slide 28 is just a sampling of some of the customers who have bought our service provider offering. You can see here some pretty big names, obviously. And if you think about where our sales are trending, the service provider offering, as I mentioned with those timelines in the release, is relatively new. It's only been out for a couple of years now, and sales cycles are relatively long. What we're seeing is a huge trend upward in sales, though. First couple quarters after it was released, you know, we'd have a few deals, and that trend is into multiple millions of dollars of sales per quarter at this point. So these, again, are just some of the names of some key customers who have bought the service provider product. If you go to slide 29, this outlines the contact. So here's some of the key folks who are working on the service provider offering. As I mentioned in the introduction, I'm the product manager for service provider. Craig Dawson is the pricer, And Bo Batty is the designer architect. So between the three of us, we make up the core team focused on the service provider product. If you turn to slide 30, I just wanted to thank you for your time. Hopefully this was beneficial for you. And again, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact any of the contacts that I mentioned there. Thank you again for participating in the Tivoli Talk.